I would like to call to order the Tuesday, January 19th, board meeting. Now I would like to invite third grader Harris Mitchell from Taylor Road Elementary School to lead us in the pledge. Please rise.
Call roll.
I would like to call the roll first. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Tornero?
Here.
Mr. Truex?
Here.
Mr. Whitley?
Here.
Mr. Begley?
Here.
Now we'll call for approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion? Please move by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Truex. Any discussion? Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Begley?
Aye. Item 3.01, approval of tonight's agenda. Madam Superintendent, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
President Begley, we have no additions or changes.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap, seconded by Mr. Whitman. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begley?
Aye. Passed. Item 4.01, Certificate of Recognition. I have a recognition statement here for Jared Christ. Jared Christ, if you would like to come down, please. Oh, you can stand under that wonderful microphone there. Jared Christ is here to actually read an award-winning poem from the Martin Luther King Jr. Art Writing and Multimedia Contest for his grade level. But before we get into all the accolades, Jared kindly enough decided to read this poem to all of us here. Thank you.
How to make my neighborhood a beloved community. My neighborhood is not currently close to becoming a beloved community. The people are friendly, but besides here and there, people are not closely acquainted. You'll find people stopping to talk once in a while, but other than that, communication is rare. Schools are really the only place in which a lot of communication occurs. In the schools, everyone knows everyone, but outside of school, many don't even know their neighbors. While the people of the neighborhood are kind enough, they lack one aspect that really boosts the community. This aspect is something as simple as what we all learn as children: saying please and thank you. If everyone could do small favors for others every once in a while and say thank you, the world would be a better place. If everyone is willing to do small favors for each other occasionally, the world would run smoother and happiness will spread. A simple favor is something powerful enough to cause a bad day to turn into a joyful one. Something as simple from getting home from a bad day at work to a shoveled driveway can make someone happy. I say that if everyone can pass along this joy, rather than have it stop at himself, and do a favor for someone else, the world would run smoother. If everyone is helping each other out, then work will get done quicker, resulting in more joy-filled free time. Every community around the world can become a beloved community just by helping each other out and passing on the joy that comes with being neighborly. Saying thank you to someone is a very powerful thing. If someone does something that helps you out, just saying thank you to them is enough to make the joy that they gave you return to them. As strange as it may seem, I know that when someone says thank you to you for something that you have done, it makes your whole day seem better. When you see the joy on the recipient's face, it causes joy for you as well. Lastly, something as easy as a thank you can make people think that what they did meant something to you. Saying thank you when someone does something for you can boost both of your spirits. Finally, the favors and thank yous can change the world itself. If the joy of favors and thank yous can be passed along indefinitely, then everything from crime to world hunger will be diminished. When people experience the joy and kindness that this brings, they should pass it on in different ways. This could include giving to the needy and feeding the poor. Also, one reason that criminals commit crimes is because they feel that the world is not being kind to them and that they need to reciprocate. If they see this kindness rather than the darkness, they will be more likely to pass on kindness than the evil and darkness. These small things of favors and thank yous can solve world problems such as hunger and crime. Something as small as saying thank you when someone does a favor for you can turn any place from a common neighborhood to a beloved community. A favor can do wonders on someone and can totally change their day. Something as small as a thank you can create joy in people. The spreading of kindness, passed on from person to person, can solve world problems such as crime and hunger. If starting with yourself, you begin a chain of kindness, the joy can spread eternally. Potentially alter the course of the entire world. Thank you.
Well done, Jared. I would like to give this year's certificate of recognition to you, Jared Brist, who has demonstrated that he is the leader today by winning the 2016 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Art Writing and Humanity Contest for his grade level. Awarded this 9th day of January 2016. Signed, Joseph A. Lindenberg, Board of Education. Thank you very much, young man. And now to item 4.02, open enrollment presentation. Dr. Howard, the floor is yours.
A decrease from the 13-14 school year where we had 100. normally do with unexcused absence, and we looked at the average number of unexcused absence by resident students and open enrollment students. And also, per the request, we've also looked at tardies, so I'm going to go through those next. So as you can see, this is the elementary attendance and the average unexcused absences by resident students and by open enrollment students. So the way that you would interpret this is the average kindergartner resident student has 1.1 unexcused absent, where the average kindergartner open enrollment student has 0.9. So it's very little difference between the two. And you can see across the board, with the exception of possibly third grade, where there's 1.9 for resident and 2.7 for open enrollment, everything else is pretty close at the elementary level. At the middle level, resident students, you can see had anywhere from 1.4 to 1.8, and for open enrollment students, we have anywhere from 1.7 to 2.2 days of unexcused absence, and that's average. At the high school, again, we have pretty similar results as we did K-8. So we have at the resident students 2.1 to 3 average unexcused absences, and with open enrollment, you have 2.1 and 3.8 is our range. We also looked at tardies this year, which we hadn't done this in the past. And so this is the average number of tardy occurrences. And we look at occurrences because it's assumed that every student in the district would have tardy data, whereas just a few probably might have discipline data. So you look at all students, and that's why we look at the number of occurrences and averages. So again, this is set up just like the unexcused absences. So what is the average tardy occurrences across elementary? So again, the way that you would interpret this is a resident kindergartner has on average 2.3 tardies so far in the first semester, and an open enrollment kindergartner would have 3.4 tardies. Okay? So you can see first grade, there is kind of a large discrepancy there, where as a resident student, 4.1, and an open enrollment is 8.9. And so that's kind of a wide range there. So that's how you would interpret the tardy occurrences. At the middle level, same. You would interpret it the same. And at the high school, the same. That's the way you would interpret it. Then we look at discipline. And I would like to say that for our discipline data, we do look at number of occurrences because our discipline data only really affects about 3% of our population. So not all students would have it. So you wouldn't look at it as part of an enrollment unit of analysis. We look at what are the occurrences by resident open enrollment students. So you can see the way that you would interpret this, this is out-of-school suspensions. We also have in-school suspensions as requested tonight. So out-of-school suspensions, kindergarten, there was one occurrence, and it involved an open enrollment student, and it did not involve a resident student. So if we go down to first grade, we would see that there were 6 total occurrences, 5 involved resident students, and 1 involved an open enrollment student. Okay? That's how you would interpret this data. So this is K-8. And this is the high school, with a total of 303 occurrences of out-of-school suspension. And we don't do days. This isn't 303 days. This is just occurrences of out-of-school. It could be anywhere from one day of out-of-school suspension all the way up to 9 or 10. Okay? So we have 303 total occurrences of out-of-school suspension. 87% of them, or 265, involved resident students, where 38 out of the 303, or 13%, involved open enrollment students, which is comparable to
the percentage of enrollment in the district.
We looked at in-school suspension the same way we looked at out-of-school suspension. We had 415 total occurrences, and this is for the first semester, so it's through December of this year, December 18th. 362 involved resident students out of 415, which was 87%, and 53 involved open enrollment students, which is a percent of 30. Then we looked at achievement, as we've done in the past, to look at our students coming to us comparable to our resident students. And so you will see our first grade through 10th grade, we'll go through these kind of quickly, first grade through 10th grade star reading and math scores, and this is from the fall. We are currently in the midst of our middle of the year benchmarking, and it goes through, I believe it's Friday. This Friday. So we will have our middle of the year district aggregated data at the end of this month. So that we are looking at our fall benchmark data. You will see reading is kind of in the purple-ish color, and math is kind of in the brown. The way that you would interpret this is that our reading resident students, 41.808%, came in on benchmark, whereas our reading open enrollment first graders, 54.9% of them came in reading at benchmark. Okay? So you will see that there's very little difference, nothing statistically different between the percentage of students coming in. This is second grade, and again, it's very close in percentages. This is third grade. You guys did that actually? I tried to make it big enough so that you could read it. This is fourth grade. This is fifth grade. And again, I'll just cite an example. So math resident students were 78.18%, and math open enrollment fifth graders were at 80.77%. Again, very similar. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, and tenth grade. And we only do universal screeners K-10, the first through 10 to start reading and start. The next thing that we wanted to look at was open enrollment revenue and how much we're generating for our general funds based on students coming into us. And so you will see that this year our treasurer has forecast that we will earn $3,835,000 for our open enrollment students, and that's an equivalent of 5.9 millage. And here it is in table format also, and you can see how open enrollment has benefited the district in terms of financial revenue over the last 4 years.
Any discussion?
Jenna, could you just explain a little bit more? When I'm looking at the number of ISS occurrences and the OSS occurrences, that's in-school suspension and out-of-school suspension, the percentages. Because I was, I guess, I'm not mathematically inclined, and I was a little confused as to what those percentages meant, because when I look at, for example, the occurrences with the resident students in ISS and open enrollment ISS, I did take total population of resident students and open enrollment students, and my percentages were different.
That's 362 of 415. Is that what you did?
What?
Not total enrollment of everybody. This is only 362 occurrences divided by the total occurrences.
Okay.
Because those aren't necessarily, we do have some repeat offenders in there, so you can't go student by student. Okay, so it's 362 occurrences of 415, which is 87% of the in-school suspension occurrences were from resident students.
Okay.
That's how that is to be interpreted.
Okay, and then 13% of the occurrences.
In-school suspension occurrences were by open enrollment students.
Okay.
Yes. Or 53 out of 415. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Whitman?
Okay. Yeah, I was interested that the percentage is 87% resident and 13% open enrollment. It went pretty consistently through the whole report, even with the overall population numbers, bearing in mind that you can't really count because you don't know how many repeat offenders there are in the population.
Actually, I do.
Oh, yes, you could.
if you want to know, I could give you that information.
I didn't want to dig that deep because the total numbers overall, as you were pointing out, are not really that big. I did have, and overall, it looks like it's pretty comparable wherever you look in here, with the exception of K through 4. Targets, and I just wanted to get any speculation as to why the gaps are bigger there, like transportation problems or anything?
I know that open enrollment students do provide their own transportation. I do know that, so that could be a reason. I think overall it's startling to see that the average student has about 3 targets. I think if you would pull most of our teachers and our administrators, we think we have a tardy issue across the whole district.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes.
And I noticed that as well. I noticed that it was elementary and also 5 through 8, and I think those as children who cannot drive themselves, where it didn't really seem to be a problem at the 9 through 12 population. So
that's
I guess it could possibly be a transportation, because it seemed like it was 2 times as high about, in most cases, or 2.5. So I'd say double.
Any other questions?
Mr.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. Thank you for all of that information. I know that was somewhat picked up in the first report that we saw, so thank you and your team for getting all of this part of the time. So just that kind of information. Next topic, item 5.01. Board members may speak on different topics at this time. First, I would like to ask Ms. Dunlap if she has any comments.
Yes, I do. No, it's kind of, I'm sorry. Do I need this? I guess maybe I do. Yes. Okay, so I was sorry to see Jarrett leave. First of all, I wanted to congratulate him. What a wonderful, wonderful award that he won, and to be recognized at that level. I'm a writer myself, and so I know what a joy it is to be recognized. Often you write things and you don't necessarily get feedback, and so to get that feedback and that pat on the back, and to know that people appreciate what you're saying, and his message of hope was incredible, just starting right at that neighborhood level. That was great. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. It's nice and warm in here, even though it may not be outside. I also want to thank everyone for their support. Definitely this has been a long journey for me. And I really look forward to the next 4 years serving you and your children and this community on the board. As I move forward, I just want to say that I'm continuously looking to gain more knowledge to help me in my position. To date, I've read 3 books to try to help me be a better board member. 2 weekends ago, I attended a workshop
concerning non-academic barriers to student success, which I think is very important here, and how to collaborate with the community to help overcome them. And that was sponsored by the Ohio Education Association. Tomorrow, I'm going back to Ohio State University to participate in a workshop on positive leadership, and I look forward to that tomorrow. This weekend, I'm attending a two-day workshop for new school board members, and that's sponsored by the Ohio Education Association. Ohio School Board Association. I'm sorry, I thought that's what I said. So I look forward to that. I've also am receiving the professional journal for the Ohio School Boards Association, as well as the National School Boards Association. So always trying to read and to better myself as I continue to develop as a board member. I look forward to serving and developing and serving the children of this district over the next 4 years. Also, as part of my duties as the new city liaison, I met with Mayor Brad McLeod for the first time this month. It was a very positive meeting. We talked about relationships that already exist and about building upon those. I think it was a very positive conversation, and we agreed to go ahead and meet every month. And I was also attended my first superintendent's advisory committee meeting, which was very informative. We talked about the district's pathways. My son is a junior, so I'm entrenched in that right now. But there were many people there who didn't understand pathways and what we're trying to do to ready our students as they enter the world, whether it be college or career. So again, thank you all for coming out tonight.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out, and I would like to say that there was not really an opportunity to say so at the organizational meeting, but thank you, Reynoldsburg voters, for the opportunity to serve you, and I'll do my best to serve everybody. So please continue to contact me by email or phone or text or Facebook, or in person is okay, too. That'll work. And I'd also like to say thank you to outgoing board members, Dan Page, Brian Brzezinski, and Sandy Long for their service, and an extra thank you to Sandy for agreeing to stay on as the Eastland Fairfield Career Center liaison. And lastly, I just want to talk about board committees. There are about a dozen of them that deal with various aspects of the district business, and they need a various schedule depending on what the need is, and they're composed of different combinations of members of the board, along with the board president and the superintendent, who are automatic members of every committee. And I would like to see in the future these committee descriptions and their memberships and their upcoming meetings, maybe on the board website, maybe in the district website in the Board of Education section, so people can find out about them a bit more easily. But in the meantime, I will announce the meetings on my Facebook page, and I'll say right now that the Buildings and Grounds Committee is meeting next Monday at 4 in the central office, right? Okay. So I encourage people who are concerned about the district infrastructure to come and hear how that meeting goes. So that's all.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow. I think I need to turn her on first. It's kind of hard to follow all the praise and everything that the other board members have expressed. However, I'll do my best. Thank you. Thank you very much for putting your trust in myself and the rest of us to serve our school district and our kids. We'll do the best we can. I too have attended several training classes, several conferences. I haven't read any books yet, but I'm working on one. And I'm also going to the OSBA training this weekend. So I'm doing everything that I can to be the best board member that I can be. I'm not an educator. I'm not in education, so this is completely new to me. However, I am not not a stranger to the business aspect. So hopefully I can bring a different perspective to our school. And again, thank you very much.
Very similar to everything else, we'd like to again thank Jared Christ for his presentation earlier this evening. I didn't strike my memory until his mother actually mentioned that I coached him in the Little League ball, and he apparently said he'd keep playing in spite of those efforts. So I want to thank him. I'd also like to thank the staff of Livingston Campus for welcoming us in here tonight. It's one of the few times I've had the opportunity to be here, and I'm glad all of you too. Thank you all for being here as well. Now moving on to 5.02, Peplin-Wagner Transitional Legal Services. Be it resolved to authorize Peplin-Wagner to complete a negotiated agreement with Reynoldsburg support staff and turn the files and records to the council upon conclusion of that matter to engage in an orderly transition of work on the pending legal matters in the council and files and records related to work performed on behalf of the board in a timely manner to new council or to the district as directed by the superintendent or treasurer, and provide background information as to district matters new council as requested by the superintendent or treasurer. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Truex, seconded by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion? Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Item 6.0, the superintendent has the floor.
President Begany, members of the board. I'm sure you, in the community, I'm sure you've seen in the dispatch last week that the Department of Education released phase one of state report cards based on the 2014-15 data from last year. There will be a second phase released at the end of February, and I am going to reserve judgment and any further discussion on our results until the second phase is released. Early indication look like we have some successes and some opportunities, all of which we are aware and currently working on. So I'll speak more about that probably in April's board meeting based on the release date provided by the department. Second, I would like to say thank you to Livingston and all the staff, central staff and district staff who worked so hard to put this together tonight. But we are in a very special place. This auditorium has a lot of memories, and there was a stage or a setting behind us, but it disappeared, I guess, in honor of this board meeting tonight. But I did want to share some upcoming events with the performing arts students that we have located here in this auditorium. Apparently, there is going to be at the end, well, actually this week, there's going to be a presentation, the Duck Variation and the whole shebang. And then a spring musical, the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, the student will be putting on. So I urge you to get involved and come out and support the students in this very fine facility. I know we have Summit, but there is a lot of history and good things that happen in this auditorium too. So thank you. And last but not least, I am very pleased to say that we per the negotiated agreement, we had over 80 applications this school year from teachers and administrators for the performance bonus, which requires teachers and administrators or someone else to nominate a teacher or administrator and submit supporting documents that would evidence substantial improvements or increases in student achievement. And tonight, providing we have board support, I'm determined to be the most popular person in the room because I have about 58 checks in my hand that after the board approves, I will be calling anybody who has one of these up, and you can receive this and if you want, go straight to the bank. So congratulations to the teachers and administrators. There were a lot of applicants for the negotiated agreement. These applications were assessed by a committee of three folks outside of our district, a panel of three, and I peruse some of the applications, and there's some very deserving folks. So congratulations, and stay tuned. You have to get to that item in the agenda before I can give you these. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Thomas Maddock. Now we're moving on to item 7.01, which is the request to to address the board and do so at this time. Our first speaker will be Ashley Mensa. Ashley, are you here this evening?
Thoroughly.
And that's our bread and butter. That's how we operate. That's how we define our organizations. So we need to implement those policies. This student exhibited threatening behavior towards my daughter, and she acted out on this. Scissors to her scalp. That could have gone in a very different direction. And having this child only receive Mondays in school suspension is just not, doesn't do justice to the situation. And I also saw in your code of conduct policy that this administration reserves the right to exercise flexibility and individuality in interpreting and implementing the student conduct policy. I quoted that verbatim here. And I think that we need to use some type of just basic common sense. You know, I know at the time that this happened, they were not aware of the severity of the damage. And I just think that we need to say, hey, boys and girls, we cannot cut people's hair. This is our policy. As a result, there's a 2-day out of school suspension, or however you choose to develop that. I know that this district has an open enrollment policy. This offending student was a new student. Again, I'm personally not a fan of the open enrollment policy. I understand that's all about financial gain. But there's not another well-respected and established school district in this Central Ohio area that has an open enrollment policy like that. Not New Albany, not Old Tangi. And so certainly this student has a troubled home life. And my daughter has not been exposed to this type of violence, whereas clearly this other student has. And she acted upon other students like that. And lastly, what I would like to say, 2 points actually, no other parent should have to deal with the violent tendencies of this student or any student. We cannot allow students to come in and use scissors to intimidate and to taunt and to threaten and to harm other students. We need to take a stand against that. If they would have suspended this other student, my husband and I would have been pleased with that. But just letting her sit in the office for the entire day doing her schoolwork, that doesn't send a strong message to me at all, and certainly not to that student. She's walking around with her hair freely intact while every day we're trying to manipulate and disguise and make this as discreet as possible while this child is living her life. You know, and what I want to say lastly is that this school district needs to develop a zero tolerance policy. People should not be allowed to do this, and teachers and administrators need to respond accordingly. And the principal of the school and Mr. Ed Johnson did not handle the situation properly. Again, I haven't heard from them. No additional information. I haven't received the incident report, how this happened, no details. And I believe that you have to always be very careful with how you treat people, because things always have a way to come back at you. It could be through sickness, it could be through financial loss, or death to your loved ones or to you. So even though we've been thrown this stick of, you know, that's very difficult, and we'll be struggling with this for the next several years, something will happen to people when you don't treat other people correctly. And I hope that someone on this board will ensure that these incidents are properly punished and no students comes to school with hair and then no hair when they leave. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. I'm sure the situation is being investigated. Hope that we'll find out soon. Madam Treasurer, I have 2 speaker slips. Do we have any additional that we're going to do?
No, just those 2, Mr. Magany.
I would like to call Margaret Mary Muncie to the stand. Please make sure you mention your name and address. And we'll report it later on the set.
Margaret Mary Muncie, 8742 First Gate Drive, Reynoldsburg. Good evening, members of the school. I am here this evening to welcome you to a new year, which I know will demonstrate true collaboration for the well-being of our students, staff, and community. This month is School Board Appreciation. and I know there are plenty in our community who appreciate the work that you will be doing. Thank you for valuing public education. I would like to suggest that our district look into the possibility of adopting a resolution to invoice the Department of Education for the fees paid by Reynoldsburg Schools taxpayers to charter schools without voter approval. I think of the programs that our students have been denied because of the loss of these funds. Finally, the Reynoldsburg Band Boosters are in the middle of their annual Super Sub sale. You know, the music programs in our district are self-funded, and this is just one of many fundraisers our music families hold to provide music in the lives of their children. I do have a blank board form if anyone would like to work with me. I appreciate that the board has allowed me to address them this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last speaker of the evening, Susan Rodenmeyer, please come to the stand.
Same, announce your name and your address.
I figured as much.
You know, it's been, my wife and I were discussing this before the meeting tonight, and I think it's been since 1980 or 1993 since we've been in this building, this part of the building when we were here. So this is nice. Can you hear me okay? Members of the board and administration, good evening. My name is Jim Rodenmeyer, and I live at 1020 Ruskin Drive. We have lived in Reynoldsburg for 46 years. I'm here to wish all of you a happy new year, and a happy one it is. I wish to congratulate the three new board members. May I say that you ran a strong, honest, and clean campaign. You worked the neighborhoods of Reynoldsburg thoroughly, letting people know who you are and what you stand for. Obviously, your message resonated with the people of Reynoldsburg, given the size of your victories. What the community heard loud and clear was that you want a development of trust among all parties involved, a restoration of art, music, physical education, and language. Once again, therefore teaching the whole child, not just testing them to death, and then also a professional treatment of everyone with whom you engage. You have made two giant steps in these directions by getting rid of a contentious, expensive attorney and by reinstating the ability to sign up before a board meeting to speak, upholding the rules of that policy. You still have a lot of work to do to fulfill your goals to improve the atmosphere of this district. You have, for example, two very important items on tonight's agenda. We're expecting a full and thoughtful discussion on those items so that the public will fully understand your decisions. We wish all of you only the best on these and all of your future deliberations. Thank you for, once again, allowing me to speak. And actually, tonight, I've enjoyed sharing my thoughts with you. And it's according to what the policy's rules are. Do you have any questions of them? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we will move to items 8.01, 8.02, and 8.03 for finance. Madam Treasurer. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Whitman is moved. A second. Mr. Truex, a second. Madam Treasurer, did you want to talk about some of these items?
Mr. President, on tonight for your approval are the monthly financial reports for the month ending December 31st. The second item on for action is the acceptance of donations. TS Tech and L Brands have donated $5,000 and $2,000 respectively to the robotics team. And Skyline Chile has donated $500 to the blended learning program. Those are all for your approval. The third item is on for discussion, and that is the allocation of the one-time allocation of $10,000 from the recently approved COPE contract and the allocation of the annual $20,750 from also from the COPE contract.
Thank you. Do we need to amend the motion then, even though 8.03 is just for discussion?
No, it's on the agenda for discussion, so you can vote on the first two and then discuss the third one.
Now the board is open for discussion. Any comments from the meeting? I'd like to say a few words about item 8.03, the allocation of COPE funds. This is for discussion. It is amazing the responsibility that you have when someone tells you you have $20,000 to spread around to all the different groups and entities that are out there, as well as the additional $10,000 one-time sign-in bonus. There are a lot of needs in our district, and we want to make sure that we're judicious with any of these funds as they are kind of, I hate saying the term free money, but there's some money that we're not expecting to do, so we want to make sure we have good use of those funds. I know a couple of suggestions have come up in terms of issues related to athletics and the music program and many, many others, but I was looking to see if there were any other comments or commentary or suggestions by other members of the board about how to go about this very serious issue of giving people money. So everyone's good for
me. Traditionally, we allow that to be a recommendation from the superintendent, which I prefer to go in that she's immersed in this 60 hours a week. We're not. I feel like she has a better idea of what's going on the inside, and she would make a recommendation. We could always tweak it and discuss it, but I think that's a better approach as opposed to our starting from ground up.
Madam Treasurer, has it usually gone in the past to the superintendent, or is it some other kind of combination there?
Mr. Begany, in the past, when the Pepsi contract was approved, it was automatically designated to the athletic fund. It was that during the last Pepsi contract, I think maybe even the one before that. So it's been a number of years since we've needed any kind of recommendation.
Any other commentary? Mr. Schultz?
This is a fair amount of money, even though our school district operates with a lot more money. $10,000 is money that we could just throw away. I'd like us to use that funding for something that's on a global scale for the district, rather than spend it right away. Perhaps look into investing it into an annuity or a CD or something that can be more long-term rather than just use this money right away. I know it's not a lot of money, but $10,000 in a couple years at some kind of interest rate, whatever we can get, might be something that we can hopefully pass on to the kids or to the students at the time rather than just trying to use it right now.
As for the $20,000, I do agree that superintendent input should be made with this. You know, superintendent and board officers have talked a number of options, and we'll hopefully continue to do so with the idea that we will maximize the use of these dollars and stretch them out as best we can so we can benefit the majority of groups. And we'll continue with that discussion. Any other comments? Mr. Whitman?
So, Ms. Miller, with this amount of money, is it, I know you said me sort of a timeline of how budgeting decisions usually get made during the year. Is it possible that some or all of this money could be sort of just added into that and rolled into the whole, you know, overall discussion of budgeting items in the normal course of events, how that happens?
That would certainly be an option. The athletic department probably has their budget pretty much set for the year, probably had part or all this money allocated to it. We will be reviewing the forecast. Now, the athletic budget is not part of the forecast. That sits outside the general fund. We can certainly include it in the general fund and allocate it back out, but you don't have to put it in the general fund if you choose to give it to another fund, such as athletics or choir, band, or orchestra.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I'm willing to take guidance from you and the superintendent and people who deal with these amounts of money on a lot more regular basis. And will we discuss this again next month or with the plan?
It will be. The item is up for discussion today, so I think we can continue this discussion with the superintendent based on those recommendations and needs to go out, and then we can begin dispersing the funds at the next, I would assume the next board meeting after they're authorized to be transferred from the general fund. Is that the correct understanding? If we said yes, we can start spending money next month?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say one thing, that I appreciate the fact that there is collaboration and discussion about how to spend this money.
Mr. Begley and members of the board, I should remind you of my request for the superintendent's fund that we use to purchase donuts for the in-service day at the end of January, which would not meet next month's deadline. So if you don't approve tonight, the teachers won't have coffee donuts.
If that is the case, then I would need a motion on the floor.
Well, can I ask how much that amount is for?
The amount I'm requesting,
mm-hmm.
or the amount? Well,
yes.
I talked with board officers about an amount around $2,500.
And this amount would be used for obviously the coffee and donuts, and then any other items throughout the rest of the year?
That's correct. I have little receptions in my superintendent's advisory night. I like to purchase coffee, just minor things for folks to just to be hospitable.
Then I would assume we are waiting for a motion on the floor.
Can I ask a question? Is that out of? I'm just curious as to why we wouldn't maybe seek a donation. I'm sure we got a new donut vendor right here in the area.
This is, in essence, a donation.
A donut, this, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on the floor this time?
Mr. Begany?
Yes.
You have a motion to approve items 1 and 2, the financial statements, donations.
Shall we go to that first and then move to see
if it might be more simplistic if we vote on that, and this may make a motion regarding the Coke money.
All right. So do I have a motion on the floor? Madam Treasurer, call the roll, please. Items 8.01 and 8.02.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Torniello?
Aye.
Mr. Begley?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 8.03, is there a motion on the floor?
I move that we talk a bit more.
Please continue to discuss.
Okay. So I know that in November we said that usually this money has gone directly to athletics, and after some discussion we said, well, in January we'll decide how much goes there, how much goes elsewhere, and that's the last of the discussion I've had on there. I haven't seen email traffic talking about this with all the other items. So we've had the superintendent's fund for hospitality for various events. So if we were to take a vote now, what would become of the most of the rest of the 20,000 or the 10,000?
I would assume this would be the 20,000.
The 20,000 annual.
Minus whatever goes to the superintendent's fund.
Okay, so minus something that goes to the superintendent's fund, and then I would assume some already budgeted amount that athletics usually gets, and then, am I right? Or that's a word for okay. Okay, so it seemed to me to be reasonable that since the athletics already has budgets and projections involving some of this money, then certainly that could go there. But then that leaves all the rest of this chunk of money, and I don't think I've heard any discussion about where that would go. So if we voted on it, where would it be going?
One can make a motion this evening that only the amount of money for the superintendent's fund would actually be transferred from the Coke money to, Coke money sounds really bad, moved from the Coca-Cola money and moved into the treasurer, yes, to the superintendent's fund.
Yes.
Mr. Jarvis? Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to create the superintendent's fund in the amount of $2,500 to come out of the Coca-Cola proceeds. And the remaining funds will be dispersed after further discussion, after we see the athletics budget, and we get a little bit more information and have a little bit more discussion.
We have a motion on the floor to take $2,500 of the $20,000 Coca-Cola product money and put that into the superintendent's fund. Do I have a second?
Do I need to alter that or just?
A motion on the motion.
A motion on the motion, yes, okay. I would move to, as Mr. Truex said, put $2,500 to the superintendent's fund, and then move whatever amount has been typical in past years for the athletics department there, and then the remainder of that money be dispersed after further discussion.
Which would be $10,000.
$7,500. Because the athletic fund is accustomed to getting 20.
Okay.
Could you repeat that again, Superintendent Thomas Manning?
President Begley, members of the board, the athletic fund has routinely, for the past several years, received the $20,000 lump sum from what used to be Pepsi funds, and now would be Coca-Cola products. And the one-time bonus is just that one-time bonus for us signing the 10-year contract a couple of months ago. So that won't be replenished every year. There's no expectation for that. So if you move $20,000 the athletics is accustomed to getting into that fund, and you allocate $2,500 to the superintendent's fund, that leaves $7,500.
Should, since Mr. Whitman amended Mr. Truex's motion, we need to vote on Mr. Whitman's amendment, and then we'll vote on Mr. Truex's if the amendment would be accepted.
Do I have a motion to for Mr. Whitman's alteration of the initial proposal?
So he made, Mr. Whitman made the motion, we'll just need a second.
Do I have a second? There was no second. The motion has failed.
It dies for lack of a second. So now we're back to Mr. Truex's original motion.
Reverting back to Mr. Truex's original motion.
Can Mr. Truex please repeat your motion?
My motion is to allocate a $2,500 fund for the superintendent to use at her discretion throughout the year, and to allow the remaining funds, the $18,000 that would be out of the $20,000 and the $10,000 funds, to be dispersed as we decide after further investigation.
So you're combining the $10,000 and the $20,000?
Just for this one time.
And okay. And there will be later discussion by who?
By the members of the board.
Tonight. Or
we don't have to finalize it tonight. Okay. And we can talk about it more and then finalize the decision for the remainder of the funds in the February meeting.
So basically this is just saying let's go ahead and do the 2,500.
Right.
Let's go ahead and do that. Get that out of the way.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the president and the vice president can have further discussion with the superintendent, who has normally, I understand, then advised where at least some of this goes, aside from athletics. Correct.
That is correct.
So we have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Romero?
Just to make, this is only the 2,500.
Only for the 2,500.
Aye.
And Mr. Bagan?
Aye. Motion has passed for the moving of $2,500 from the superintendent's fund for various functions. Item 9.01 through 9.05, personnel, administrative staff, certified, classified, supplemental services, as well as supplemental contracts. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Tamara, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Is there any discussion?
Hang on. I'm catching up here.
This is all personnel, all of it. Okay. So, Madam Superintendent, I just wanted to get a clarification. I know you want to pass out checks, but so I see an awful lot of planning and facilitating professional development sessions. So a lot of payment going out there. Can you just explain that, what that is?
Sure. Mrs. Dunlap, Mr. Begney, members of the board. Teacher Focus has been working this school year on the second year. On collaborating for our professional development day, which will happen mid-year on the 29th of January. We have asked teachers to lead that. We've asked teachers for topics on that. And so in honor of their sacrifice and planning and preparing those sessions outside of the workday for that collaboration day, we are trying to give them a small compensation to acknowledge that work. So it's just for the planning and preparation of the day, which most of it is occurring as we speak. So we've been collaborating on this for about 3 or 4 months.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Truax?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Bagan?
Aye. Motion passed.
President Begley and members of the board, as promised, I have checks for the teachers and administrators in the audience who were just approved for performance incentives. And again, I commend you for your work, your hard work, and congratulate you. I know you're not all here, but if you hear one of your colleagues being read, tell them to give me a call tomorrow and we'll hook up. I want to get to you. A friend, but please, if you hear your name, please come forward. I'd like to shake your hand and give you your check. Stephanie Adams, Marlena Bates, Janet Benedict, Scott Bennett. Nobody wants a check. Shelly Glue, Melanie Boss, Christopher Brooks. Nina Brown, Rita Krieger, Jocelyn Cosgrave, Jessica Pauly, Jessica, Susan Dakin, Rebecca Diedrich, Michael Dimchak, Melissa Drury, Joanna Felici, Joanna, Lorraine Goggenbaugh, Amy Dingo, Aubrey Gibson, Amy Gokenauer, Amy Green, Tammy Grotinger, Rebecca Hammond, Aaron Harshaw, yeah. Teresa Hartley, Ariel Holder,
children.
That's going to be a fun weekend. Shana Hudson.
Erin Key.
Did I give it to her?
No.
Heather King? Jennifer King? Jenny King? Monica Lambert? Taylor Lane? Dawn Malo? Mindy Martin? Irene McLaughlin. Cynthia Meisel. Jeremy Miller. Morgan Osborne. Wendy Pop. Lindsay Kruger. Sarah Ramsey. Melissa Ray. Shauna Rotek. Katie Schutzmeyer. I botched that one. Katie. Courtney Shipton. Julia Smith. Lauren Smith. Melissa Smith. James Stevenson. Kathy Stevens. Tanya Thomas, Catherine Thompson, Tiffany Troyer, Nicholas Swyman, Muriel, Brian Widows, and Bridget Wilson. Well, thanks for getting your checks in the mail, but tell your colleagues to pick me up tomorrow. We'll make sure everybody gets there.
Do you have any specific questions?
Just the standard, you want to tell us where you're going and
so
how
the
people are filled out, things like that.
The robotics team, right now actually we're in build season and the kids are over the summit right now. So our build season ends February 23rd when we bag our robot and put it away. Then in March and April, we will be traveling to Cleveland first for a 3-day competition up there. I want to say there will be 60 teams there in total. And 2 weeks later, over spring break, we will be traveling to Cincinnati, where we compete against another 50 teams. So these trips are, we take a lead team Wednesday night, and then the rest of the team comes on the bus Thursday, and we come home Saturday night.
And all pertinent paperwork information has been taken care of?
It's all there. There'll be some additional that list was students registered up to that point. There'll be some additional students, so I will submit an addendum to that, and we will have additional adults. Altogether, we'll probably be traveling 500 people. Usually the second trip's a little lighter because it's during spring break, but I bet we have 70 of them.
And you have 2 days that are the kids will miss for the first one. I assume that's because Cleveland, that's probably their
right.
Spring break.
Right. Well, no, so the week after Stop Build, they start having competitions all over the world. So competitions go week by week, and so there's 9 weeks of competition and then worlds. And so the regional is what they're called, are scheduled by FIRST all over the place, and they have them in groups. So, you know, somewhere in the world there's going to be week one competitions, and then somewhere there's going to be week two. I think Cleveland is week three or four. And so there's one in Cleveland, there's probably one, you know, somewhere on the West Coast. There's usually two or three going on in Europe. So they kind of spread them out. Kids miss school. We like to do the one during spring break because kids don't miss school. Especially in East End where we're double blocked. One day is two, it gets So we try to make sure that we balance that.
And our students will make up any of this work.
Of course. What's nice about this is the three of the coaches are teachers, and probably 70% of the team are our students right now. So that's helpful.
You can teach on the
classroom. That's what I was saying.
We have mandatory AP study tables, actually. So our juniors came in today, organized the kids that they're leading, and then went and did study tables. So that's a fairly regular occurrence.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah. Mr. Schultz? Mr. Coleman, can you tell us a little bit about the amount of time and effort that these kids are putting in? I know what it is that they do, but I don't know if these folks know how much time is involved in this. Maybe it's about the weekend.
All right, so for example, last weekend, which was the three-day weekend, we don't build Friday night because there are just some things I can't do. Saturday we start at 8, which means leads and coaches are usually there earlier. And parents bring in a team meal, usually about 2, and the whole team eats together. And parents, by the way, are feeding about 100 people every weekend doing that. Then we went to 9 o'clock. So by the time we're out of school, it's about 10 p.m. We take Sundays off for now. The last 2 weeks of build will probably be in on Sundays. Then Monday, we came in at 10 again and built until I think 6. As we go towards stop build, the hours will get longer. So usually the last weekend of school or the one before it is a 3-day weekend, we put in about 40 hours. So we're basically there all day for those 3 days. Stop build day on February 23rd, we'll go till midnight. Because that's when we put the robot in the bag. It's a lot of hours. Our leads last year clocked about 300 hours in 6 weeks, in addition to school.
Mr. Begney, I just wanted to thank Jim for his leadership in this work. I know that there's a lot of time and energy that goes into this, and Jim has been very tactical and strategic around getting donations from outside sources to support these trips for the students, and he does this to the labor of love because he believes in it and believes in it. So I really want to acknowledge all that he does to support this program without any extra pay and a lot of love and dedication into that. So, yes, the kids are missing a couple days, but I believe that they're learning so much outside of the walls of the school during that time. And
I would absolutely agree.
Yes.
This is the best enrichment we can do.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Item 11.01, the enrollment policy is on for discussion only.
Mr. Begley?
Do we have to vote
on?
If these items were for action, the robotics team, the board would like to approve.
Do I have a motion?
Hello.
Moved by Ms. Whitman, second.
Second.
By Ms. Dunlap. Madam Treasurer, call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Begley?
Aye. Motion passed. Now we'll move on to 11.01 open enrollment policy. This is on for discussion only. Do we have any comments from any of the board members? Mr.
Whitman. So open enrollment. I know that during the course of my campaign, I heard a lot of opinions about it. I know that when it was implemented, there were and still are a lot of people who are not in favor. favor of it. I personally did not have much of an opinion on it, but as I became more educated on these issues, I paid attention to, for example, the issue of, well, do open enrollment students have more behavior problems than resident students? And based on the report that I've seen, I don't have reason to believe that. I've heard, anecdotes here and there, but I don't know. I can't speak to anything about that, but based on the data, I would say from what I have, I don't have an objection based on discipline problems, although I would encourage administrators to be on the lookout for it, because given the amount of money that the open enrollment students bring in, there is an incentive to do what we can to keep them in the schools. Now, as Superintendent Riley pointed out, that bending the rules for open enrollment students that would be unethical and illegal, and I expect that the administrators do not do this, but economically the incentive is there, and so I would like to make sure that we keep our eyes open to that.
I will be honest, and throughout my campaign, even before my campaign, I heard many people in favor of open enrollment and those who are not in favor of open enrollment. I had my own opinion years ago, and this first came before the board, actually twice. The first time turned down, the second time it came back with a number of safety nets in place. I've met some people who are here in our district to take part in the wonderful programming that we do have. I've also seen firsthand some discipline issues. I've had people both inside and outside the classroom talk to me about issues, and I've listened. One thing that I think Neil had asked for was the in-school suspension information to be added to this report. And I asked for the tardy information to be added to this report so that we can keep our eye on it. I look at the report and I don't see many discrepancies except for tardies. And I do see some discrepancies when it comes to the younger levels. And it reminds me of a conversation I had in December with a young man who he was having problems open enrollment getting to this district. And that is a problem. I think when I see those numbers two times, and I would like to be able to, as a district, look into that a little bit more. I think what's important is that we're looking at this, and I see both sides. And I think we have to continue to monitor this. It is a lot of money that comes into this district. And it wasn't me, it wasn't this board, the past open enrollment. I'm going to be honest and say it's a train that can't be stopped. But what we can do is continually monitor what is going on. And I think right out the gate, we asked for some more statistics so that we could make sure that those safety nets are in place so that we do attract families and students who do want to come here for the positive, for the great programming that we have, without detracting from those residents and our children who actually live here. So with that being said, again, I see the information that was presented to us tonight. I don't see many discrepancies, although I would like to see tardies looked into a little bit more as to why that might be happening at the younger level.
I would just like to mention, so often there's talks need to go for the revenue, and that's a win for us, obviously. But I would just like to mention that those that do come to our school and have an opportunity that they wouldn't normally have, and we're in the business of educating kids and looking out for kids. Back a number of years ago, when this was first a discussion, Mr. Dack was the superintendent, and he had a group called Student Focus, and there was a young girl in the 7th or 8th grade, and Mr. Dack asked the question, Focus group, how have they heard anything about open enrollment?
to echo Mr. Mayor's statements as well. Yes, again, the financial state is there in due sense a bit. For the most part, this is something that's not going to be stopped in the future. And we do need to monitor. Again, we are in the business of educating our students. And I'm looking just at the rough numbers. 655 students are having an opportunity to learn in the district that is a phenomenal district, all because we made the opportunity available to them. We need to make sure we kind of keep that in mind to provide that kind of great education to all of these students as best as we can. Again, monitoring for certain things here and there, but we have to do that with all things. Thank you. Are there any other comments? Discussion? Mr. Whitman?
Yeah, I would like to echo Mr. Bailey's echoing of Ms. Tornero's observation that this is an educational opportunity for a lot of students, and I'm happy to see that some of these students see this as a destination district to come to. And I think that when we were having to be resourceful and clever to make the most of funds and find extra funds where we could, that open enrollment has proven to be a pretty good move. But the other issue that has been raised is, you know, when all these students come in, we need to make sure that we have sufficient teachers to teach them. And I'm looking at a spreadsheet here. This is for mainly for elementary school, am I right?
That's for the whole district.
For the whole district, okay. But for example, I'm looking at some cells here where they have classroom counts, and where a cell is highlighted in red, that means that the ratio of students to teachers has risen above 25:1. And those, I'm assuming then that there's some plan that happens when that happens, or
just a watchful eye.
Just a watchful eye, okay. And I guess I'm looking at the elementary classrooms because those are the ones where they're just, you know, by grade level, not, you know, a math class or an English class. So classes, special education classes that you know, may have fewer students in there. So I still think that we need to keep an eye on these ratios, especially with classes where you can't just take, you know, the total number of students and total number of teachers and divide it. There's going to be variation. But if we can do that, and then pay attention to the, you know, to the issue of discipline, then I think this is an overall beneficial program.
Thank you. Any other comments? So this will be up for this year.
I just wanted to say a few things myself about open enrollment. And I'm speaking as a parent because this is the face of an open enrollment family that you're looking at right here. So I appreciate the this discussion tonight, but I think it's really important for us to remember that we are working with kids, and some of the cases we referenced tonight around tardiness, those are adult problems, not kid problems. And I don't think they're problems that are unique to our students who are open enrollees. And I think the report overwhelmingly dispelled any kind of myths that there's a disproportionate number of any kind of issue related to these students. I think the spirit of this policy, we're living it and enjoying it, the fruits of it, and so are our students. And I also want to say just a small thing about a comment that was made earlier about no reputable districts around in Central Ohio offer open enrollment. I'd like to push back on that and say we are a reputable district, and that's why our numbers continue to grow. I personally, the first year this policy, took advantage of it and took my students out of private school to come to a district that I love, and I felt like we are doing great things for kids. So this is a reputable district, and I am very proud of the fact that we open our doors to other students to take advantage of the wonderful opportunities that we're able to give our resident kids. It's a win-win for this community, and it's a victory for kids in Central Ohio, and I'm going to continue to encourage the board to uphold the policy uphold the spirit of educating all students to the best of our abilities, and when we can, not stretching our resources, and we're not going to do things that are detrimental to the resident students, and the policy protects that. But we are a district who prides itself in sharing our love and our knowledge, and so I support the policy, and we'll happy to work with the board members on any questions, concerns, and we'll keep a watchful eye on the data as we have for the past 5 years.
Thank you, Superintendent Thomas. This information will be on, is already on board docs for anyone in the public to review. It will be up for review until the next board meeting, when the board will then take action, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Item 12.01 and 12.02, business and operations, approval of the CMAX contract as well as surplus items. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap, seconded by Mr. Whitman. Do we have any discussion on this item?
Okay, all right. So I'll summarize my understanding here, and then if I'm going off track here, misunderstood, please feel free to make a correction. Okay. So looking at the CMAX proposal, bring my notes here. So there are some areas of need that this CMAX consultation firm identified for those who maybe haven't read some of the documents. I'll mention two that I know about personally. One is, it says, classrooms are operating without adequate numbers of teachers. The pipeline of qualified substitute teachers is not sufficient. I know, for example, Mr. Rodenmeyer and I have had a couple of meetings with Mrs. Miller and talked about issues like this. And I know from my own son telling me about times when, you know, there was no substitute and how they had to double up in some other teacher's room, or some other teacher had to keep coming and checking on them. So that discouraged me too. And we've also talked about some of the possible causes why it's hard to find substitutes. So I agree that there is a need to do something there. Another need, it says, district has significant exposure from lack of compliance and documentation of completed background checks. And again, I can speak to this from personal experience. I've been volunteering for going on 12 years in schools. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had to get fingerprinted in order to be a robotics mentor. But before that, it had been at least, I don't know, 5 or 6 years before anybody had said, hey, Mr. Whitman, you need to, you know, look like we need to re-up your background check. And so I think we need to have a district-wide system in place so that people don't fall through the cracks that way, so people can know, oh yeah, it's been this long since you've had a check. Other things that I did not know about, but which, you know, I have no reason to doubt, they are significant needs. It says organization does not have a consistent and established process for hiring new teachers. Hiring large numbers of spring teachers every spring requires a lot of effort. Organization does not have an established approach to maintain sufficient and accurate employee information for state and union reporting. So basically, from what I hear, we're still working on mostly like a paper system?
Database.
Spreadsheets, okay. But from like the late 90s era? Something like that? Okay. And the payroll department does not follow documented processes and require the use of consistent forms resulting in risky payroll errors. So all these, I think, are significant needs that need to be addressed one way or another. The question is, well, one question, didn't we just hire an HR person back in October, November? And why are they doing it? And my understanding of the answer for there is yes, we did, but she can't do it all by herself based on the outdated systems. She spent a bunch of her time taking care of day-to-day things and not having a chance to back off and do the kind of overhaul that we're talking about here. Another question is, well, okay, if not the HR person we hired, well, then can we hire some more HR people instead of contracting it out? We could, but if we did, then when this overhaul is done, which is projected to be done by September thereabouts, well, then we'd still have these full-time employees that we're paying for. So basically, a contractor to do this job seemed like the better option. And as for, I think I saw a comment somewhere, it says it looks like these people are going to be doing this, taking over the HR function. And my understanding is no, their job is to come in, put, you know, make these changes, get the system upgraded, and then get out so that then our regular HR employees can continue with this job. So I've talked about that. So to sum up, what I've talked about is the needs identified for this, and then why it is that we would want a contractor to do it. I have other things I'll talk about too, but I think I'm going to yield the microphone to somebody else, and then if they cover some of these things, I'll bring them up later.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to speak at such length as that. As I understand it, that our system is woefully in need of an upgrade. There are many problems. Again, I think maybe some of us bring a little bit of our own experience to the board. Being a substitute teacher prior in the district, I know I've been in buildings when I've been shifted around the minute I walk in the door to fulfill vacancies that have occurred. And sometimes that's just shifting things around to best serve the needs of the students. And so, but there are many things, as Neil has talked about, that are woefully old, antiquated, and I call the stubby pencil method. And I think that we need to upgrade that. And I support that. This is a contract that is a specific number of hours, a specific dollar amount. And there it is outlined the services that they will provide and to upgrade that. And I'm hoping that we come out with a better and a stronger human resources department. As somebody posed to me after looking at this, and we were talking about in the end, when they walk out the door and say, here is your product and your restructure, might they say, I think you need a little extra help? Then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I know I'm in the process of applying for a position in Licking Heights as a substitute teacher, and they go through the ESC. And I counted 27 districts that use the ESC to go for their screening process when it comes to substitutes. And also many districts who use that in other career application process. So this is not something out of the ordinary that other districts don't go to another group to help them solve some of these problems and give them the extra boost that they need. So that is why I am in support of the CNAX contract.
I'd just like to say that this is a pretty aggressive schedule that we've looked at. The timeline that CMAX is going to be held to is to have this system up and running by September of this year. We've been running as a business-centric
So do we have a motion now?
I have a couple more
comments.
Okay. Got breath. Okay, I've got my breath now. I just wanted to comment on a couple more things, questions that I had based on the things that people have brought up to me. One is some concern with the CEO or the president or whoever runs CMAX, a gentleman named Brian Gillum, who has ties with White Hat Management, who we've heard a lot of bad things about with their involvement with charter schools in Ohio. And so I asked Superintendent Thomas Manning about that, and she said, okay, Brian Gillum worked as an interim HR director for 3 months at a charter school run by White Hat. So basically, he was temporarily employed by them. So a good question to raise, but having gotten this answer, I'm satisfied with that answer. I see a lot of things in the proposal itself about charter schools that worry me. Although, as always, if people know things that I don't, please bring them to my attention. And let me see, anything else I need to mention here? Okay, yeah, actually, I think, one more thing is, so why CMAX instead of some other firm? And did we solicit bids for this? And if I understand correctly, basically we have an existing relationship with CMAX. They've done some work for us before. They've done a satisfactory job there. And but at that point, I think could you say a little bit about our prior relationship with CMAX and whether other companies might be able to do this job?
Mr. Bailey, members of the board. Well, we've been working off and on with CMAX for the past year, mainly in the past recent 6-8 months. They, as they served as the interim director of HR for Whitehead Charter School, they also served as our interim HR director in the absence of an HR director for roughly 4 months. They have done some leadership projects with us in the past year. On a consulting basis, I would bring them in. They engage the principals and leaders in the district on just developmental type things. And they did help us last spring with some recruiting events that we had. So that's the extent of our relationship with CMAX.
Any other questions, comments, or discussion?
Can I just say one thing? So, Superintendent Thomas Manning, these were positive experiences that we had with CMAX and the smaller experiences that we had with them?
I think so. I think you'd have to call the administrators and get their personal opinion, but I was satisfied with the quality of work.
Any other comments? We have a motion on the table. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 13.01, adjourn to executive session. Item 37, compensation. Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Truex, seconded by Mr. Whitman. There will possibly be action at the end of this. And Madam Treasurer, call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Tornero?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye.
So where are we going?
I don't know.
Where are we going?